Easier said than done. Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Easier said than done, or is it? I know from historical accounts that the ocean liner Titanic sank with great loss of life. Did I see it happen? No. Do I believe it? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. So what is Thomas's problem? It seems it may be lost on us who believe without seeing that we have benefit of years, many years in most cases, of hearing the gospel account of Jesus' resurrection. It's the central story of our faith. We are fortunate to be steeped in resurrection imagery, thought, and practice, as most routinely partake of this holy meal that we prepare for with the help of the ministry of the Word. This is the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrated every Sunday in the church. Not one of us has seen as do the disciples see our Lord on this occasion. Their encounter begins in fear for their lives, fear that they may suffer the same fate as their master, even death by crucifixion. Did we come in here today in fear? Probably not for the most part, but we are influenced by the recent attacks on religious houses of worship, be they Jewish, Christian, or Muslim. We know fear. It is a concern for us, a sign of the times, somewhat different from the fear shared by the disciples in that upper room. They have witnessed the death of their teacher, their leader, their friend. A violent and agonizing death. They're traumatized on several levels. They fear for their safety, their lives. They grieve the loss of the one they loved and the one who loved them to the end. Surely they bear guilt and shame for having slept when he needed them most, having run away in the hour of his desperation. Peter especially deals with shame of having denied Jesus publicly not once but three times. A rather sorry state they find themselves in when Jesus appears among them. If they're not immediately able to process this experience before them, we need to cut them some slack. No doubt they've seen death before. They've even seen Lazarus raised from the dead but revivified, not resurrected. Lazarus comes back to life as he left it, fully enfleshed, fully human, and he will die a natural death again. The appearance of Jesus is none of that. He's come through closed doors, the solid walls, to stand in close proximity to those gathered in hiding. He's different in appearance, but not unrecognizable. He is in with them, and the disciples know him. And as his first words sink in, they begin to rejoice. It's never happened before, and it's not happened since. Even people like Mary Neal, who returned to life after a death experience, are not in a resurrected state. We believe, having not seen Jesus as the disciples see him in a form previously unknown. Good for us. But bear in mind, this is because since that time, faithful witnesses, beginning with the apostles, have told the story, lived the story, breathed into them that night, told generation to generation. Peace be with you. Merely a greeting, an opening round, and an exchange of pleasantries we know better. This is the breath of life, new and unending life. The disciples' fear begins to lose its paralyzing grip. Grief turns to joy as guilt and shame wash away to be replaced with courage, unbridled enthusiasm, and most of all, love. Let's face it, it takes time for this transformation to happen. For these first disciples during their lives, the learning curve will level out as they remember better what he said about his arrest and crucifixion, his death, and after 3 days being raised from the dead, he told them, and his word bears out. It's true, and they know they must record it and preserve it. Well, the process takes weeks, turning into years and eventually centuries, so that "do this in remembrance of me" becomes a command on a par with "love one another," spoken on the night in which he was betrayed. The blood of the martyrs will mingle with the blood of Christ on the cross, shed for you and me because he loves us. They break the bread as he did. And they prepare and drink from the cup as they all did and pass the practice down, with Christ among them as powerfully as he is among them on this occasion in the upper room. How do we think we have this word, these practices of partaking of bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ? The record of what happens that night after his resurrection is far from mere words on a page. The cross changes everything. But the reconciliation reconciles them with God through Christ and with one another, beginning with a temporarily estranged Thomas. The resurrection simply is power. Even before the whoosh of Pentecost infusion of Spirit is the breath of God flowing from Christ into the world on his beloved apostles, the ones he sends and who go, charged with the task enthusiastically to declare forgiveness. In Easter season, you must notice the absence of general confession. The significance of this change is not an indication of relaxed standards. It is to emphasize the presence, the role of the peace. As an extension of this holy night, 1 week after Easter, when Jesus breathes on them the peace they so dearly need, the forgiveness of sins, the reconciliation of earth and heaven, God and humankind, all that is accomplished in Christ Jesus. This is what we imitate in the power of the Spirit when we say, "The peace of the Lord be with you and also with you." The peace is not a break in the flow of the service, a signal to inquire of one another how things have been in the last week. The peace is the liturgy condensed into a moment of grace. "Peace be with you" is the song our heart sings to. It's the pronouncement of reconciliation formed in the blood, sweat, and tears of Jesus' word murmured from the cross, "Father, Father, forgive them." The cross changes everything. Resurrection reconciles everything. Think on these things in the days to come in this season of Easter, 50 days. Think of these things as the Eucharistic prayer cascades throughout this room. Pray these things quietly as you make your way to the altar and kneel to partake in remembrance of him. The hands of Jesus and Thomas have been laid upon God's people time after time, generation to generation, until we are touched in this season with God's peace. It doesn't end here. This is the beginning. Again, in the name of God, he is risen. Let it be in you and in me. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.